Hello and welcome to this new show called Ayurveda, the Science of Life on UK Health Radio. My name is Dr. Oscar Adukon. I'm working as an Ayurvedic practitioner in Belfast, Northern Ireland, following a career working as a GP, family doctor throughout the UK and Ireland. In this show, I will introduce the listener to the ancient system of medicine known as Ayurveda, which is still in use today and growing in popularity worldwide. I will explain the origins and principles of Ayurveda and give clear, simple, understandable explanations for how we can work on our modern lives. I will discuss how Ayurveda can connect us to our own nature, as well as the wider world of nature around us. We are all part of nature and need to restore these connections in our daily lives. I will interview like-minded therapists and health experts to discuss their approach to health and wellness and how it connects with Ayurveda. This show aims to reflect the growing move away from the narrow confines of conventional medicine to a deeper, more holistic and personalized view of health and wellness. Ayurveda is a nature-based system which uses food, simple herbal remedies, daily practices, and herbal-based medications to achieve balance of body and mind. So much of the root cause of illness today are caused by our digestion and lifestyle. Ayurveda teaches us that everything we do in our lives has an effect upon our well-being and health. On this show, I hope to teach you and show you how learning about Ayurveda will benefit you and your health now and into the future. So on today's show, I'd like to discuss the role of Ayurveda in the management and treatment of allergies. And this is quite topical at this moment in time because we're coming into what traditionally is regarded as the allergy season. So, on this show, I'm going to discuss a number of things. First of all, having a look at what an allergy is. Secondly, describing the different types of allergic reactions according to Ayurveda. And then why some people suffer from allergies and others do not. And what role our digestive fire plays in our immunity and whether we develop allergies or not and how severe they are. I'm going to talk about the digestive fire in detail in many of these shows that Ayurveda, this is so crucial to our overall health. As part of that, I will discuss what we understand as the gut-brain connection and its role in our immunity, which are covered in a previous show. Then what role the doshas are these biophysical energies we have that make us all up in different combinations. What role these doshas have in how we experience allergies and how we use that knowledge to help us plan treatment. So, as usual, it's quite a bit to cover, but hopefully you'll be able to understand a little more about allergies from an Ayurvedic point of view perspective. Now, as I said, this is regarded as the allergy season. And it's quite helpful to discuss the role of Ayurvedic treatments and Ayurvedic management in managing allergies at this time of the year, in the spring season. So it's April now, almost mid-April, almost mid-spring. So it's good timing because usually towards the end of April, the start of May is when allergy season really kicks off. And if we can prepare for it in advance and be ready for it, then of course we'll manage everything a lot better. And maybe you suffer from hay fever, or maybe you know someone in your family who does. Then in the next few weeks, you or they might be feeling more allergies creeping up in you, more sinus, more ear, nose and throat, eye and skin issues start to kick off at this time of year. Now, I had a bad dose of hay fever last year in late May, when the farmer came to cut the grass in the meadows nearby. And this was the first time I ever had a hay fever. And it was really quite surprising to get it quite late in my life. And it was unpleasant for a few days. I felt quite out of it and very miserable with it.
My daughter, my youngest daughter, does suffer from heady fever quite bad, and this can stop her walking the dogs in the field at different times of the year, particularly when the pollen count is high. Now, your allergy or your problems or symptoms, they may not be pollen related, as in related to the grass and the flowers and so on. It could be an allergy from dust or pet dander or even foods. Or it could be just an allergy, a mild allergy you've had before, but you've noticed it's starting to get worse with the passage of time. This time of year might be worse for all allergies, as the immune system is readjusting to the different effects of the weather and the climate and this particular change of season has on our bodies as we head from spring into summer. So this sure might be something that you might find helpful in the way I can give you some tips and guidelines to help you with the suffering and nuisance and inconvenience, frankly, sometimes misery of allergies by using an Ayurvedic approach. So let's look, first of all, at what an allergy is. Well, an allergy is when the immune system responds to certain triggers in the environment or in your external environment. Now, these triggers are known as allergens. And these allergens can be found in dust mite, in pets and pet dander, the pet hairs, cats and dogs particularly, and in the pollen that's released from flowers and plants at this time of the year. Now, medicines and food can also act as allergens and cause allergic reactions. We are all familiar with penicillin and aspirin, which are common medicines that can cause allergic reactions and sometimes can be very severe and life-threatening. Foods can also cause similar reactions. And the commonest foods associated with allergic reactions are peanuts, seafood, especially shellfish, dairy products, and eggs. Now, many of these substances are harmless for most people, but a small group of people can get quite significant reactions from them. However, for the person whose immune system responds, it results in lots of symptoms. And these are in Ayurveda are normally dosha specific. And I'll discuss that a little bit later. So the symptoms are the expression or manifestation of symptoms depend on the dominant dosha in that person at that particular time, either of their constitution or whether they're imbalanced in that dosha. So the allergic reaction can manifest differently for each dosha, as in many things in Ayurveda. And there are two types of allergic reactions according to Ayurvedic teaching. And the first type is regarded as a genetic or an inherited tendency to develop allergic diseases. And these people with genetic allergies are exposed to allergens, they can develop an immune reaction that leads to inflammation and is described as allergic in nature. And it can cause redness and swelling, for instance, of skin and eyes. And this is a typical kind of hay fever allergy, which causes allergic rhinitis, which is a medical phrase to describe a running nose, or conjunctivitis, which describes the red and itchy eyes that we experience with this type of allergy. And on the skin, it can manifest or show as eczema, type of itchy eczema, or hives where you get big kind of red marks or red angry spots appearing on the skin. And in the lungs, it could be symptoms of wheeze or cough, which occur in asthma. Now, in Ayurveda, this type of genetic or inherited allergies is one you have had since childhood And it is always best in this particular case to go and see an Ayurvedic practitioner. And they can check your history and also your family history. And an Ayurvedic practitioner then can treat you with herbs and look at your food and lifestyle and meet your specific needs to try and address any symptoms and imbalances of the body. But today, particularly, I'm going to talk about the other type of allergy, which is more like a seasonal, or allergies that are not acquired, that are acquired but not hereditary. So allergies that you develop during your life rather than from childhood onwards. So in other words, you could describe it as a sensitivity or an allergy that a person starts to experience later in life. So why do some people suffer from allergies and others don't? Well, once again, in Ayurveda, we go back to our digestion to find the root causes of many diseases, including allergies. It's an oft-repeated maxim in Ayurveda that all disease has a root cause in our digestion. And maybe other causes as well responsible, but there will always be a cause that is related to our digestion in all disorders. And Ayurveda teaches us that allergies or problems with our immunity occur when there's a buildup of what we call ama, or toxins in our body. And toxins are, in effect, food that's not been digested properly, so that it's not digested and absorbed and are excreted or eliminated in our body. It's building up in our body in a form of toxins. And the commonest cause of this undigested food or toxin buildup is an impaired agni. And agni means our digestive fire. And when I say digestive fire, I don't just mean the fire in your gut or your digestion itself in your gut, but in the tissue layers as well. But of course, the first part of the digestion process occurs in the gut and in the liver, and these are extremely important from that point of view. Now, lots of factors can cause our digestive fire to become impaired or not to work properly or be less optimal in its function. Poor diet or inappropriate diet, poor eating habits, which you see a lot of these days, an unhealthy lifestyle or excessive stress, or even changes in climate or season that we have not prepared or planned for. These can all lead to an impaired digestive fire and this buildup of toxins in our body. Now, if you remember from previous shows, our immunity or our inner resilience to developing disease is formed after the digestion or nourishment at all the tissue layers. So it's the last one in the line to be nourished or provided for, as well as the reproductive system. So both our immunity and our reproductive strength are the last layers of tissues to be nourished. And as such, they're in a kind of a delicate position because they're at a higher risk of developing problems. They're more exposed to an impaired digestive fire further along the path before it reaches the stage of the reproductive immune system. So everything else has to be working perfectly and optimally in order for the immune system and the reproductive system to be getting the best nourishment and for the digestive fire to be working at best. So I'll take a short break there, and in the next part of the show, I'll start by discussing the different scenarios, the three types of scenarios that can occur when our digestive fire goes out of balance, because it's so critically important for the strength of our immunity that our digestive fire is working perfectly. We'll see you back after a few minutes.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Sarah wasn't bad at her job, she was stuck in hidden grief. After her dog died, she took a sales role just to stay busy. but every pitch felt empty. A Cogna Movement session uncovered that she was seeking the warmth of her dog rather than serving her clients. Using our patented movement and sensory patterns, she cleared the grief and rocketed to the top. What hidden emotion is holding you back? Try our Essentials program at the special UK Health Radio rate. Visit cognamovement.com/radio or click on the Cogna Movement banner on the UK Health Radio homepage. Results vary.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving. It's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to the show. In today's episode, I'm talking all about Ayurveda and its role in the management and treatment of allergies. And in the last part of the show, I discussed the importance of our digestive biome to be working optimally from our gut, liver, right through all the tissue layers to the reproductive layer and to where our immunity is built, essentially, or is developed in our bodies. And for a good immunity, we need a good functioning digestive fire. Now, according to Ayurveda, there are three scenarios where this fire goes out of balance. And each of these scenarios correlates with a specific dosha imbalance. Now, think of Agni or digestive fire as a gas flame on a hob or the setting on an oven. And it could be too low and like a sputtering gas flame, which causes slow digestion, which is typical of a kapha imbalance. It can be too high, which causes fast or a burning type of digestion that is associated with a pitta imbalance. Or it can be erratic, fluctuating, like it has a fan that turns on and off, so to speak. And this causes irregular digestion. And this is typical of a Vata imbalance. And that each of these individual scenarios or imbalances can cause a buildup of toxins or armor through different mechanisms. But essentially, they will lead to the same problem. The digestive fire is working suboptimally. Therefore, you're getting a buildup of these toxins or this armor within the body tissues, which will affect how the immune system receives its nourishment at the end of these layers, these tissue layers. A pitta imbalance has the additional problem in that it causes problems with absorption of nutrients because the digestion is working too fast or it's overactive, the digestive fire. And by missing out of these nutrients, some of these crucial vitamins and minerals, so to speak, are amino acids and proteins that we need, this can cause problems with our energy in an additional way through a pitta imbalance. Now, our emotions and our feelings and our psychological state can also improve our immunity via our dosha balance. So this is coming to the idea of the body-mind connection and how closely and intimately they're connected. For example, if we experience anger feelings or emotions that are bottled up, or they're repressed, as if we put a lid on them, literally a lid on these emotions, this can lead to a build-up of Pitta dosha, because we need a good functioning Pitta dosha to be able to process these, shall we say, hotter emotions and feelings. And this can manifest as physical problems in your gallbladder and in your liver and your small intestine. You've often heard the phrase fire in the belly, or somebody might be a bilious individual, or a sharp and a sour and a bitter individual. These are phrases that are in a common language which would describe that type of scenario where there's a buildup of the psychological part of Pitta, which transmits or translates into physical symptoms in the areas where Pitta is most dominant, which is in the small intestine and the stomach. And all of these areas are crucially important for the breakdown and the absorption of food, our food that we take in, into the nutrients we need for our body tissues. Fear and anxiety, which are not controlled, so they're running loose, these lead to a buildup of Vata dosha, especially the large intestine, especially in the large intestine, where the Vata dosha is most prominent. This is the seat of the Vata dosha in the large intestine. And this will explain why you get excessive symptoms of gas, of bloating, and even constipation. And these are all associated with physical signs of a Vata imbalance. So I'm trying to bring that idea that our psychological state can influence our physical symptoms. And lastly, when our psychological state displays or shows the signs of the feelings of inertia or lethargy or lack of motivation for whatever we use, this is a sign of a kapha imbalance in our qualities of the mind. And this will manifest in physical symptoms of slow digestion, infrequent, sticky, sometimes large stools, and excessive burping. So we can start to understand that our body and mind are so closely connected. And this is especially true when we talk about the gut-brain connections or the gut-brain axis, which is so much in the news today. The gut is described as our second brain. And we can begin to understand the importance of good digestion in all its aspects and how it can influence our health and strength of our immunity. And also how the body-mind connection is so central to optimal digestion via this gut-brain axis, which plays a key role in maintaining our immunity. And this has been proven by modern medical research, that the gut has a very important role in our immunity. And this is very important in Ayurveda when we look at the root causes of illness and disease, including allergies. And when we start to understand these issues, this forms a guide to us in treatment choices and in any changes we have to advise or make in patients in their lifestyle, their practices, routines, eating habits and so on, food choices, etc. So Ayurveda, I feel, is a genuine and a holistic and has a whole person and a whole body-mind approach to managing our health and preventing this. Now, I appreciate it may not be as simple in every case, especially when it comes to cases where there are complex psychological issues which have not been resolved and have been accumulating over time. But I do feel that having an open mind and a non-judgmental approach when assessing each person's story can be a help in starting a process of change within that person's mind and in their thinking and in their reflection on what's happened in the past. The past is indeed the past, but learning and reflecting on what has happened
and how we have responded, for better or worse, can be a therapeutic experience and can be a rewarding and a positive experience, ludiful. I don't think anybody would argue with that. So I'll take a short break now, and I'll come back in the last part of the show and discuss what role the doshas have in how we experience allergies and how we use that understanding and information to help us guide treatments in different cases when people experience allergies. Get back in the chemo.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
Imagine. Every day, clients walk into your office with their concerns about intimacy, identity, desire, and trauma. Questions that require more than basic training. Emotional and sexual dynamics are evolving, and today's professionals must evolve with them. We hear from parents unable to start conversations with their children around identity. Too often, adolescents have learned their sexual ideas from the internet. Couples have difficulty communicating about sex with each other. At the International Institute of Clinical Sexology, you can gain the specialized skills and knowledge to address those issues with confidence. Whether you are a therapist, coach, educator, or other healthcare professional, our advanced certifications and PhD program empower you to become a highly skilled, sought-after sex therapist. Expand your expertise. Elevate your earning potential. Start your journey today with the International Institute of Clinical Sexology. Imagine making a difference in our world. Learn more at clinicalsexologyphd.org.
The station that makes you feel good.
So welcome back to the show. And today it's all about allergies and Ayurveda and how we look at allergies from an Ayurvedic perspective and the role of the importance of the digestive fire in maintaining our immunity and also the role of doshas play in how we experience allergies, which is what I'll discuss in this part of the show. And we know that we can experience allergies differently from person to person. And even the same person can have a different experience of allergies in different years. So Ayurveda teaches us that each dosha has a specific reaction to allergies. So this could explain why we all experience allergies differently, because we are all different from a dosha makeup point of view, our constitution point of view. We're all unique, a combination of the different doshas of Vata, Pitta, and Kapha. But allergy season is usually late spring and summer, as I said, you go when the pollen levels are higher. So this is when we mostly will experience allergies at this time of the year. However, we can experience allergies all year round. And as the weather and climate are changing, so that the timing of these allergy periods are also changing. So it's not something that we can only think about once a year for a short period of time. It's something that we need to be aware of for longer periods of the year. And as I said before, there are
other allergies that are not pollen removers, Actinoprod and Candida. So let's start with the Kapha dosha, because Kapha and Pitta are the two doshas, but we are particularly associated with allergies. Now, in Ayurveda, the accumulation of the Kapha dosha, which is made of earth and water, it occurs in the spring season, in the transition from winter to spring. So we tend to accumulate those qualities of earth and water in our system from the environment, effectively, and from our foods and from our habits, and we bring them into the spring season. So we can become imbalanced at this time of the year in the Kapha dosha. It's really like nature and the weather. Our bodies reflect the changes occurring in the environment. And this will manifest or show itself as we'll experience excess water and mucus in our systems, which cause symptoms of nasal congestion, a runny nose, watery eyes, and sneezing. It's commonly regarded as the coughs and cold season coming from winter into spring. It can also cause heaviness in the stomach and sluggish digestion. So you don't feel as hungry, your appetite is not as sharp, and you feel your digestion is just a little slowed up. You might feel sluggish in the digestion. Now, how do we treat the Kapha imbalance, which causes allergic symptoms? The commonest thing to do, and is always recommended, is a form of nasal cleansing, and it's called Nasaya in Ayurvedic teaching, and it's been used for thousands of years, this technique. And it's simply either applying oils, or in this case, applying salted water solution into the nasal passages, using either a jug or a syringe, and lying flat on your back and letting the water circulate from one side of your nostril to another. And this has become very popular now at the device called a neti pot, which is really just a jug specifically designed with an attachment to allow you to flush your nasal passages out. And this has been used for thousands of years in Ayurveda as a cleansing, as a kind of a cleansing treatment for a Kapha imbalance, for relieve excess water and mucus in our system, particularly collects in our nasal passages. Using pungent and bitter herbs and spices in homemade remedies and in our food preparation, and in our recipes we use for preparing our foods, this is also important. These will have a heating effect on our body, and this will help dissolve or break up the excess mucus we are carrying in our systems. And examples of these type of herbs and spices would be ginger, cayenne pepper, and black pepper, basil, cumin, sage, turmeric, and cinnamon. And you can also have drinks with ginger, honey, and lemon, and adding in a freshly ground pepper also has that kind of invigorating cleansing action on a Kapha imbalance. There are also supplements, and a supplement commonly recommended is called Trikatu, which in Sanskrit translates as three heats, Katu being the word for heat, and Tri being the word for three. And this is made of two different types of pepper, black pepper and long white pepper. Both of them combined together with ginger, and often taken with some hot water to dissolve the ingredients. Also, developing a lifestyle practice involving regular vigorous exercise, a little more strenuous exercise. And you could do things such as getting a dry sauna. Dry body scrubs can also be helpful to stimulate the skin and the lymph glands in a Kapha imbalance situation. And also, of course, yoga, which I almost always recommend, or different than Mars's. And the types of routines you'd be looking to do would be energizing routines, which involve a lot of movement, and as well as the traditional maintenance of the postures that are important in yoga practice. So these are a few simple things that will help address any allergies that are caused by a kapha imbalance. Now, what are the allergy symptoms associated with pitta or a pitta imbalance? As summertime allergies, we're coming into the summer very soon, in a few months. Summertime allergy symptoms are mostly due to an imbalance of pitta, or the dosha associated with heat and transformation in the body. We know that the pitta dosha is made up of the elements of fire and water. And Ayurveda teaches us that this dosha of pitta will naturally increase in us with the heat of summer. So we'll feel more of the pitta dosha during the high hot days of summer. And it also rises in the middle of the day when the sun is at its highest. I'm looking out at a beautiful clear blue sky now, and it's shortly after 1 o'clock. But this is a time when pitta is at its highest in our systems during the day. So it follows that our doshas follow the rhythm of the day. They follow the circadian pattern of the day from early morning, middle of the day to late evening. And they replicate again during the nighttime period when we're sleeping. We describe the kapha phase of the evening as 6 to 10, 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. And then the pitta phase kicks in at 10 p.m. approximately to 2 a.m., which is the time when we really should be getting ourselves to sleep so we can process on the big emotions and thoughts that are running through our mind from the day. And then from 2 a.m. to 6 a.m. is the vata phase, when we tend to be in a more dreamlike stage, I will say. So the excess in the pitta dosha, the heat element, so to speak, will cause inflammation in our system. And will spare symptoms such as skin rashes, hives, a burning or red eyes, and in sinus and airway inflammation, which has medical terms of sinusitis and bronchitis. And these would be more, they'd be more painful and uncomfortable than the sinus, the kind of sticky sinuses we get from a kapha imbalance. And we will get gut symptoms such as heartburn and stomach upsets, indigestion, even vomiting, a common symptom of the pitta imbalance. Now, pitta imbalance can lead to food sensitivities and allergies, or what is often called food intolerance, to hot and spicy foods, to citrus and sour fruits, even to fermented foods and vegetables like a cato or tomato for tucan meat. So it's like we don't react well to these foods when we have a pitta imbalance. But we can see these symptoms in people who have a prominent pitta constitution as well, even if without an imbalance been present. If they're particularly pitta, they may exhibit these signs. I say, or a spicy food doesn't agree with me. I get real digestive problems with fermented foods or with tomatoes. So this is something that can happen even if there's no pitta imbalance present. So how do we treat the pitta imbalance which is causing these allergy symptoms? So we need to think of calming and balancing the pacifying pitta. We use all of these words all together. We recommend, think about it for a second. You're trying to bring in opposite qualities or opposite experiences. So if the problem is excess heat in our system or too much inflammation, we need to bring in the opposite. So let's start with using cooling herbs and spices. And examples of these would be coriander and mint and cardamom. Bringing them into your diet or into homemade remedies, which are often taken as herbal blend. Mint tea, for example, coriander water, which has the additional benefit of having the alkalizing effect if there's too much acid in our system, which can also generate heat. And aloe vera juice or coconut water. These are also very, very good drinks which have a cooling effect, which will balance fit up. There are herbal medications such as guduchi and amalaki and neem have been proven to be helpful in cases of fits and balance. They have specific cooling qualities and they have bitter and sweet and astringent tastes, which are all pacifying for pitta. So they reduce the pitting of system. And these herbs have the additional benefit of being anti-inflammatory and having antioxidant properties that have been shown to help support our immune system regulation and health functions. Taking fresh fruit, especially the big juicy sweet fruits like mango and melon and coconut, and trying to take less of the sour and citrus fruits such as lemon, orange, or even green apple. And in lifestyle practices, we're thinking about anything that reduces the heat in our system and promotes coolness, such as cold water swimming, walking in nature early morning and late evenings. Perfect example of a helpful practice would be moonlit walk. Moonlit walks at night when a full moon is in the sky alongside a beach or where there's water or a riverside. This has so many positive effects on and the pitta imbalance. And the same way with yoga, trying to bring in cooling practices and gentle yoga, nothing too vigorous. I find I like to practice yoga outside, but I notice that if it's too warm, like today, and you're in the sun, full sun, it's not as comfortable for me. I go back into the shade, or I find it helps me. Maybe a little bit of pitta that's been stimulated by practice, and even a gentle yoga practice in the sun. And we can also bring in breathing practices, not to forget things such as alternate nostril breathing or a type of practice called Shatali mouth breathing, where you breathe in through your mouth, which cools the air quicker and has a cooling effect on the body. An easy one that I remember doing in the past, even before I came across Ayurveda, when I was living in Yorkshire, England, which are too far away from any of the seas, and I hadn't yet discovered the rivers, was sit in the back garden on with a cold water, a basin of cold water, and put your feet in it. It has an immediate cooling effect on your body. And it's a lot more pleasant than a cold shower. So that's a little recap of what we could do to help a pitta imbalance, which could be causing allergies. And lastly, I'll discuss the symptoms of what can occur with vata allergy symptoms. We don't often think about vata imbalance when it comes to allergy because we're thinking more of kapha and pitta dosha imbalance because it's the earlier part of the year, spring, coming into spring and spring into summer. But it can happen, and it happens mostly in fall or in autumn. And this is when the air becomes colder and drier. And we have, these are two qualities that are associated with the vata dosha, and they will increase vata dosha. Remember, of course, that vata dosha is made up of the air and the space elements. Now, allergy symptoms associated with the vata imbalance would include headache, wheezing and sneezing, and just generalized muscle aches, you know, feeling quite right, and a dry core with perhaps some restlessness and even dry eyes. You may have a dry eye problem and it's getting particularly bad. That would be a sign of a vata imbalance. And this is also due to the accumulation of the lighter elements of space and air in nature and in the environment at the time of the year you head into fall or to autumn. Now, vata imbalance or vata-related allergies can display or manifest themselves as extreme sensitivity to certain foods, such as raw food like lettuce in green salads, as well as uncooked vegetables that you can come across in salads sometimes, for instance, broccoli. How do we manage these allergy, these symptoms caused by a vata imbalance? Once again, it's the opposite of bitter, in that we need to learn how to keep warm and to stay hydrated by drinking warm liquids, such as ginger tea with honey or a spiced masala tea, which you can make with cumin and with coriander and fennel. A blend of that mixed together and brewed with some tea leaves or some tea bags just to make a version of the salad tea. There are many, many varieties you can buy in the shop, which are just a sprinkle of a little bit of masala powder into your normal tea, and you can make a similar type of drink. Eating a Vata Kama calming diet, or a Vata balancing diet of warm food, food that's prepared using oils, organic oils, and ghee. Ghee is particularly helpful in these cases, because ghee is like a clarified, pure form of butter that's used a lot in India for cooking. Avoiding snacks and cold food. This is really important and something that we all need to be aware of. Probably when the single most important thing to the member is to try and have cooked and warm food in our diet. We have such a snack orientated culture at the moment with quick foods and eating on the go that we often forget to eat cooked warm food, which is so much easier to digest. Avoiding dry food and leftovers, which is generally good advice in my very comfort view, and avoiding raw food. Eating cooked vegetables and trying to reduce or avoid vegetables that will promote the air and space element and have rough qualities, such as broccoli, cabbage, cauliflower, and some dark beaten greens. And lentils and beans are okay, but we need to remember to add oil or heaviness to the dishes because they're generally light in their qualities. And you can do this by using ghee or olive oil, like I mentioned before. And eating foods that are smooth in texture, like rice puddings, bananas, hot cereals like porridge, or sweet rice porridge or oat porridge, root vegetables to help with the grounding effect, which they will provide, and soups and stews. Any hot foods that are easy to digest are good for a Vata imbalance, where the digestion can be a bit erratic and you're trying to bring it back to be more regular. A very good example of is meat broth. We used to take bovril and marmite and paste added to hot water. That's a good quick fix solution for a Vata, rather than have to prepare a meat broth from scratch. Now, herbal remedies you can use for Vata imbalance. Once again, the chikatu is a helpful one because it generates that heat that we need. We use it in the Kapha imbalance, a black pepper and the long pepper and ginger combination, and which helps stimulate your digestive fire, which might be a little bit erratic and inconsistent in the Vata imbalance. A herbal medication that's often used in case of Vata imbalance to help regulate it is called ashwagandha, which people have heard of. It has an energizing effect, and it also has an effect in able to strengthen the immune system. And briefly, to finish with, in terms of Vata in relation to the lifestyle, it's all about routine. Bringing in a regular routine and schedule for all the daily tasks, the waking, the sleeping, and the exercise routines we have. Try to put them on a schedule which will promote stability within our day and encourage this grounding that we need when we're peeling Vata imbalance. So I hope that's been helpful for you. It's really important to see how Ayurveda stresses the importance of boosting your immune system. It's one of the last of the tissues to be nourished. It provides our resilience and our kind of inner strength and vitality. And it's so tied up with maintaining our health that we have a strong immune system. And once again, watching for any imbalances that you may be suffering from and how they may manifest as allergies at different times of the year is very important. And looking at your diet, your food choices, trying to incorporate a lifestyle that suits you and that is not harmful, which is not often the case these days. And if necessary, seeing an Ayurvedic practitioner to get some advice about herbal remedies and perhaps prescribing some short-term herbal medication to help rebalance you. So I hope you enjoyed the show today. I'll finish up with the usual messages and hope to see you again next week. Thank you very much for listening.
Tune in again next week for more discussion about Ayurveda. There's always loads to discuss. You can find more information on my website, anamayurveda.com, which is anam spelled A-N-A-M hyphen A-U-R-V-E-D-A.com. Anam is the Irish word for soul. Until then, as we say in Irish, Cree Fallon, Fod Seal. Healthy heart, long life. Take care.